thought that if an animal was trained and it did what it did because of the training, so it's not, you know, it's not like a mu'ad. A mu'ad is, you know, the habits of an animal. It got into a certain bad habit. This is an animal that's being trained. Without the trainer, it wouldn't be doing it. So then even though the animal kills, let's say an animal's trained to fight with a gladiator in a stadium, so even if it kills the gladiator, the animal does not get put to death, because the Torah says ki yigach, when the animal will gore, v'lo sheyagichu acherim, not that others made it gore. So Yibaylu, that a question in the yeshiva. Ma'u l'gabi mizbeach, is such an animal, a trained animal that actually killed, disqualified from being used as a carbon? Or do we say the same way it itself is not killed because it was gored by others, it doesn't become disqualified to be used as a carbon because it was gored by others? Rav Amar Kasher. Rav said, no, it's like the Mishnah, and just like it's not going to be a shara niskal, it's not going to be a disqualified carbon. And it's kosher to be used as a carbon. Shmuel Amar Pasul. Shmuel said, no. In regards to being killed, we say it doesn't get killed because it's others that made it do the act. But in regards to being disqualified to be a carbon, since it did end up killing, even though it did kill because of others' actions, it is disqualified to be a carbon. So Rav Amar Kasher, Rav says it's kosher to be a carbon because anasu, it's out of its control, right? It's being really controlled by its trainer. So its killing is not its own act. It was an act out of its control, so it doesn't become disqualified as a carbon. Shmuel Amar Pasul. Shmuel said, no, it's still disqualified as a carbon. At the end of the day, this animal was used for a terrible sin, for the sin of murder. So therefore, it's disqualified as a carbon, the same way an animal that gets used for an act of illicit intercourse, that a man sleeps with an animal, the animal is disqualified as a carbon. Maisvei, I'll challenge you. We learned in a brisa, the Torah says, take from the animals as karbanos. Mina behema, from the animal. That means not all animals. Which animals not? Lohotzi es haroveya, to exclude an animal that sleeps with a girl. Vesanirva, or a female animal that had intercourse with a male human. Mina bakar, from the cattle. Lohotzi es haneva, to exclude an animal that was worshipped as a vodazara. Minatzon, from the sheep. Lohotzi es hamukze, to exclude an animal set aside to be offered as Avodah Zarah, to be offered to the Avodah Zarah, uminatzon, and the vav, uminatzon, and from the sheep, lehotzias anogeach, to exclude an animal that gores and kills. Amar Reb Shimon said, imnem aroveh, once the Torah says that a male animal that slept with a female human is disqualified, lamanem aroveh, why does the Torah have to also say that an animal that gores and kills is disqualified to be used as a carbon? Imnem aroveh, once the Torah said an animal that gores and kills can't be used as a carbon, lamanem aroveh, why don't you also have a pasuk to say that an animal that did intercourse is disqualified as a carbon? These are acts that carry the penalty of stoning. So, of course, it's a terrible aveira and shouldn't be used as a carbon anymore. The answer is, there are halachos about the animal that sleeps with a female that don't exist with an animal that gores and kills. And there are laws about the animal that gores and kills that don't apply to the animal that sleeps with a female. Roveh asa bo'onas karatzon. When an animal sleeps with a human, even if it did it out of its control, it'll also be put to death and be disqualified from being used as a carbon. No geach, when it comes to an animal that gores, lo asa bonus karatzon, if it happened out of the control of the animal, it wouldn't be put to death, and it wouldn't be disqualified as a carbon, presumably. No geach, mashalim kofer, an animal that gores and kills, the fourth time it does it, the owner has to pay the kofer, the atonement payment. And roveya, whereas an animal that sleeps with a female, eno mashalim sakofer, doesn't have to pay money. Lefikach, therefore, it's uchloma, that's what the Torah to say, both. Roveya, an animal that has intercourse, v'utzuchloma nogeach. And that to say, an animal that gores and kills. That's the braisa. Katani miyas, what did it say, though? Roveya, an animal that has intercourse, asabonus karatzon. There, something out of its control is the same as that which it does willingly. Nogeach, but an animal that gores and kills, lo asabonus karatzon. That which happens out of its control is not the same as that which it did willingly. Slamay helchasa, in regards to what halacha, what's the whole discussion of the braisa? Lav l'karbon, isn't it about karbanos? That's the whole discussion of the braisa. And the braisa is apparently saying that an animal that gores and kills out of its control because it's being controlled by its trainer, is not disqualified from a carbon. It still can be used as a carbon. So the Gemara says, no, it's not approved to Rav. Rather, the Braisa is being, you're misreading the Braisa. Luktala, the Braisa is saying there's a difference in regards to the animal getting killed between an animal that does it out of its control or an animal that did it willingly. But the Braisa is not saying that therefore an animal that did something out of its control is okay as a carbon. On the contrary, the whole point of the pasuk is that it's not okay as a carbon. We're just trying to justify why we needed an added pasuk for goring once we have a pasuk for intercourse. The answer is because goring sometimes, in regards to other halachos, is different than intercourse. Because in goring, in regards to being put to death, intercourse happens even when it's against the animal's will, whereas goring only happens when it's willful by the animal. That makes sense. Diamit lekarbon, if you're going to say that the Bryce is saying in regards to the carbon, to the suitability of a carbon, the Bryce is saying that a gorer, onus kiratzon, out of its, I'm sorry, onus is lav kiratzon, out of will is not the same as willfully. So, nogeach lo asab onus kiratzon, that when an animal gores, if it did it out of its control, then it's not like if it did it willingly, and then it's kosher as a carbon. We don't know that yet. Lav onus didei ksiv, the Torah hasn't yet told us anything about an animal. Torah never says explicitly that an animal out of its control could be used as a carbon. Lav ratzoni deksiv, never says that an animal that does willfully killing can't be used as a carbon. The Torah just says min atzon, from the sheep, and we're excluding something, some sheep not. And Lav look tell us, so no, the way to read the Braisa is that the Braisa is saying, why do you need a pasuk to tell me that you can't have a killing animal as a carbon? Once you have a pasuk saying you can't have an adulterous animal as a carbon, because in regards to putting animals to death, there is a difference between killing animals and adulterous animals. That the killing animals get put to death only when they did it willingly. The adulterous animals get put to death even when they did it out of their control. So I couldn't have learned one from the other. But it's not talking about carbonos, because that we don't even know yet. So obviously the Braisa is only talking about death, and it's not a proof to Rav that in regards to carbonos, out of its control, it's still okay as a carbon. Amar, we just learned. Nogeach meshalim esakofer. An animal gores and kills. The owner of the animal has to pay an atonement payment. Roveah, but if his animal slept with a woman, and meshalim esakofer, he doesn't have to pay an atonement payment. Hey, what's the case? If his animal slept with a woman and by sleeping with a woman killed the woman, so who cares if an animal kills by goring with its horn, or if an animal kills by sleeping with a female? El derav loktala, must be it slept with her and it didn't kill her. So there's another reason why it doesn't pay kofar. Hadlo mishalim kofar, the reason why it doesn't pay the atonement is mishum loktala, because it didn't kill it. Amar Abaye, Abaye explained. The Olam Derav of Lok Tala. We're talking about where it slept with the person and did not kill the person. The Asur LeBeidina, then they brought the person to court, the Katlu, and they killed the person. So now the Tim would have thought to say, Kiman de Katla Tami. That's as if the animal killed it. Because if the animal causes the woman to be killed by the court, so it's the animal that's killing the woman. And therefore, the owner of the animal should have to pay kofar. Kamash will know that that's not when the Torah obligates kofar. The Torah obligates kofar when an animal's action kills a person, not when the animal triggers Besdin's action that kills the person. Rav Amar Rav said, "Lo'olam d'Rav v'k'tatla." Really, the Braisa is talking about a case where Yaakov's animal slept with a woman and thereby killed this woman. The Kakashilach, so you asked, so of course the animal should be killed. What's the difference if it kills with its horn? What's the difference if it kills with his act of intercourse? I'll tell you there's a difference. Maybe the Torah says you kill an animal that kills when the animal's trying to be damaging. Karen Kavanas Lahazik. When an animal uses its horns, its intent is to cause damage. Hi, but an animal that has intercourse, kavanaso lanos atzmuhu, he's just trying to have its own pleasure. And since it's trying to have its own pleasure, then the Torah never obligated a payment of kofar. Yeah, we're going to see that. That's today's daf. We're going to get to that. Yeah. So, but my pligi, what is the argument between Abaye and Rava? Why didn't Abaye say like Rava? So, the Gemara explains, regel shadars l'kabetit, b'chad shanizak. The question is, if you have an animal that goes into your friend's domain, and there it trampled on a baby and thereby killed it. That's the question. Is there a payment of kofar then? La bai mishalim kofar. According to Abaye, you'd pay kofar, even though it was without kavanasa lahazik. So therefore, you can't give the answer that an animal that kills through intercourse doesn't pay kofar because there's no intent to damage, because he holds even when there isn't intent to damage, there's a payment of kofar. But according to Rav, lo mishalim kofar. In a case of ragel, there is no payment of kofar, because he holds you only pay kofar when it's kavanasa lahazik. And he could give this answer over here. Tanya kavasa de Rav. We have a braisa going back to that earlier question. Like Rav, Shora, it's stud in the stadium. Ox, namely the ox that's trained to fight in a stadium. Eino chayev misa, such an ox, if it kills a person, is not put to death. That's our Mishnah. And then the law of Rav. The kashla gabi mizbeach. And that animal is not disqualified as a carbon. It can be used as a carbon, even though it killed a person. Because it's really being forced to do it by its owner, by its trainer. And therefore, it doesn't get the penalty of being disqualified as a carbon. Next Mishnah. Shor shenagach esa adam. An ox that gores a person. Umeis. And the person dies. So, as we've been discussing, muad, if that ox was a muad, meshalim kofar, the owner has to pay the kofar payment, the atonement payments. The tam, but if his animal that Gordon killed was only a tam, patur min kofar, doesn't have to pay the atonement payments. Zev is that, whether his animal is a tam or a muad, chayav misa, that the animal has to be put to death. The same would be true if the animal killed a young child. It would also be put to death. If it kills a young girl, the animal would be put to death and the owner would have to pay kofar. If the animal gored a slave, male or female, then the Torah says the kofar amount is a set fine of 30 shekel. No sin shloshim slam. He gives 30 shekel. Whether this is a slave that's very expensive, worth 100 mana, 100 shekel, 100 times 100 shekel, 10,000 shekel. Or if he's only worth a single dinar, it still would only pay 30 shekel. No payment. Okay, that's the pasuk says, that the Mishnah says. He always pays full kofar. We're going to see it to machlokas tanoim. Says the Gemara, a basic question. Once an animal killed, even as a tam, it gets put to death. So then, muad echi mishkachasla. How do you have the animal becoming a muad? At which point, it's going to be paying kofar, right? How could it be that once it is a muad, it pays kofar? When it's a tam, it didn't pay kofar. And it's paying for putting someone to death. Once it put somebody to death as a tam, it got killed as a tam. So then where do you have it being paying kofar once it becomes a muad as a killer? It's already dead. Very good. So we're going to see lots of answers.
But didn't we also learn that you don't pay twice? So you either get the punishment put to death, so there's no fine.
Right? No, that's not with animals. Not with animals.
Not with animals.
So Rabba gave one suggested answer. Can you hear what the case is? It didn't really kill three times. Three times, it did an act that we estimated would have meant death. It lunged at a person, but the person was quick, he ran away. Then it lunged at another person, again, that person ran away. Lunged at a third person, he ran away. The court said, if not for those people being so quick on their feet, they would have been killed. This is a muad already. The fourth time it killed somebody. Rav Asha said, 1 second, umdun alav klumu. If you assume that you assess that this would have been death, but it wasn't death, then it's not a muad yet. Elas Rav Asha said, Hachab Mayaskina, what's the case where you ever have a payment of kofar? Kagon, Shasikin, Lishloshim, Ne'adam. The ox endangered the life of three people. He gored them. They were, dying, but they haven't died yet. Then he gores the fourth, and all four die. They all, finally die. So now he has to pay kofar. Razvid Amar, Razvid said, Kagon, Shaharik, Shloshim, Behemos. It killed three animals, and now it kills a person. Really? Mu'ad l'behem avi mu'ad l'adam. Just because it's a mu'ad to kill animals, that makes it a mu'ad to killing a person. It's not true. So there shouldn't be kofar. Elam Rav Simi, Sir Rav Simi said, he killed three non-Jews. There's no payment of kofar for killing a non-Jew. And he's not put to death for killing a non-Jew. And then he killed a Jew. If he's a mu'ad for killing non-Jews, that makes him a mu'ad to Jews. Elam Rav Shimon ben Lakish, he killed three people, but each of them were trefos. They would have died anyway. The guy who was dying, and then the animal came and killed him. So since the animal killed a trefa, he didn't kill a full-fledged human being. So the animal's not put to death, because he didn't really take a full life. He took a fraction of a life. But it established that the animal is a gorer, so since he did it three times, it's a gorer. Once it does it the fourth time, it has to pay kofar. Really? Mu'ad l'trefa v'mu'ad l'shalit? If an animal is a mu'ad to kill trefos, is it a mu'ad to kill shleimim, to kill whole people? Elam Rav Papa, so Rav Papa suggested, this is what we've been saying till now in the Masechta, the case of kofar is a very unusual case. The katal, the tam, killed an animal, but then v'arak, it was like El Chapo, it escaped from the court. Arak la'agma, it escaped to the swamps. Then again, katal, it killed again, the courts caught it, but then again, arak la'agma, it escaped to the swamps. And it did this three times, and then it was able to kill a fourth time, as a mu'ad, and now it has to pay kofar. The owner has to pay kofar. Rav Acha ben Ravika Amar, Rav Acha the son of Ravika said, the case is also an unusual case. The animal killed, so how do you convict it? You have to have witnesses. The witnesses came and they said, we saw this animal, we'll call her Billy. We saw the animal Billy kill Yaakov. And this and this day, at this and this spot. But then, after their testimony was accepted, two other witnesses came and they disqualified them by saying, that day, you weren't at that spot, you were with us in Arizona. So we said, okay, after we've convicted the animal, we have to acquit the animal because the witnesses were thrown out. So after the witnesses were thrown out, the animal was out free again. Then again this happened. And again, witnesses came and then we convicted, then we threw out the witnesses. And now, after this happened three times, another set of witnesses came to disqualify the disqualifiers. So that re-established the original testimony. So the animal now, there is testimony about it having killed three times, which is valid. So it goes back to being a mu'ad, and it avoided getting killed. So the Gemara says, Hanicha, that's fine. Iliyuda tura b'inan, right? If we say that the whole idea of you have to have three testimonies is to establish that the ox is a mu'ad. We saw this argument earlier. Shapi, that's fine. You can say that when you're mazim the zomimim, when you disqualify the disqualifiers, so then you reestablished that it is in fact a mu'ad, and in fact it can now be obligated in the kofar payments. Eli Liuda Gavra Bina. But if the whole idea of having three testimonies is so that the owner was warned three times, there was a testimony against him once, and then another time, and another time, and each time he neglected his obligations. So now, May Marmalay, in a case of the Hazama of the Zomamim, the disqualification of the disqualifiers, he can say, Lo Aviyadana, I never knew that my animal was a gorer, because I thought that all those testimonies against my animal were false. So this now fourth act of goring, I shouldn't be responsible for. It wasn't as if I had three times of neglecting my obligations. Where it says, no, Kagon, the case would have been, to Amri, they said, Kol emas dekatal, each time, the witnesses that were disqualified and that are reestablished, they say, each time they said, dekatal ture, each time they said that the ox gored, gabe avikai. They're saying that the owner was there over the ox. So now once we've reestablished their testimony, we are reestablishing that three times he was negligent, and therefore it can become a mu'ad. Ravina gave a different answer to the case of the Mishnah when an animal is a mu'ad, and therefore it has to pay kofar. As we ask, once it kills for the first time, it already is put to death. So how's it ever going to become a mu'ad? The case is b'makir and esbal ashor, where witnesses testify about the owner of the ox, namely that one of his oxen killed, b'makir and esbal ashor, but they don't know which ox it was. And then eventually, the fourth time, they say, oh, that was the one who did it all those other three times. So one second, my havli l'mebet, if he didn't know which
ox that was doing it, what was he supposed to do? They tell him, listen, you have a goring ox in your flock. You should have been watching your entire flock after that first time. So the fact that he didn't, liude gavra, to convict the owner, happened, and now can end up paying kofar. But the Mishnah said that both an animal that's a tam and a muad are chayiv misa, they get put to death if they kill a person. Once the Torah says the ox is to be stoned, obviously it's not shechted the right way. If it's not shechted in the right way, you can't eat it. So why does the Torah say its flesh may not be eaten? The Torah is telling you, let's say an animal kills, and then before you had a chance for it to be convicted, somebody slaughtered it. Nevertheless, asur ba'achila, even though there was a right kasher shechita, there's a special pasuk saying you can't eat the meat. And the other ba'achila, okay, maybe you can't eat the meat then. Ba'anaminai, how do we can't even get any benefit from that such meat? Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says. Uval ashor naki, and the owner of the ox is clean. My mash, how do you see that clean means that he can't get any benefit? So Shimon ben Zalmomer called him Shimon chaverit. It's like a person who tells his friend, Yatzish ploni naki minachasav. That person has exited from his property clean. Ain lo be'manasha klumi. He has no benefit at all from them. How do we know that the pasuk that says its flesh may not be eaten is a reference to slaughtering it after it was convicted that you can't eat the meat? Maybe you're allowed to eat the meat in that case. Maybe the case of you can't eat the meat is that in a case when it was stoned, you can't eat the meat. What do you mean? If it was stoned, of course you can't eat the meat. It's an avela. It didn't have a kasher shechita. No, I'll tell you. What does it mean you can't eat the meat? You can't get benefit after it was stoned. The verse of Lo Ya'achel is just to say that you can't get any benefit from the meat. As we've learned back in Maseches Pesachim, Kidur Reb Avod, this famous lesson, Reb Avod, named Reb Elazar, Komak Mishnehemar Lo Ya'achel, if the Torah says it may not be eaten, or Lo Sochal, don't eat, Lo Sochlu, don't eat, Echad Yisra Achilu, Echad Yisra No B'mashma. That really means don't eat and don't get benefit, because benefiting is a form of eating, it's a form of getting, you know, goodness from it. Unless the Torah says don't eat, but you are allowed to get benefit. For example, the Torah says by an avela, like lager ben asina, give it to the non-Jews, or you can sell it to those who worship idols. So flo yeachel can mean iser hana, and that's what it normally means. It normally means iser hana. It means prohibition of eating and prohibition of benefiting. So when the Torah says stone the animal that kills and don't eat its meat, it means don't get any benefit from it. Obviously, the answer in the yeshiva, hani mili eich v'nafak li'isra achila v'isra hana, ich v'isra hana. When do we say that the words lo yachel mean don't get any benefit? That's when the prohibition of benefiting is mikra milo yochal. The words don't eat teach me both not to eat and not to get benefit. But here the prohibition of eating is already figured out from the fact that the Torah says stone it. So now once it says stoning it, why would the Torah say don't eat it? If when the Torah says don't eat its flesh, it means don't get any benefit, so the Torah should just say explicitly don't get benefit. So inami lo yachel es pesaro lamali. Or alternatively, the problem is why does it say it shall not be eaten its flesh? So that's the point. The afogav, the avdekein basar, even though he made it like flesh, namely the shachte, he slaughtered it. Aser, you're not allowed to get, you're not allowed to eat it. So Marzitra challenged this. Ema, let me suggest, Ani Mili, maybe this is only true. Heicha, in a case, debadak tzur. Maybe the Torah, when it says lo yachel, you can't eat it, which we're saying means you can't eat the flesh if you slaughtered it before you stoned it. Maybe that's in a case of slaughtering, which is akin to stoning. Namely, you took a stone and you made sure that the stone's edge was very sharp. And with that sharp stone, he stoned this killing ox. Which is like, it's like stoning. But if he slaughtered it with a knife, then maybe not. Amri, so they said in the yeshiva, that's not a possibility. When the Torah talks about shechita, does the Torah say you have to shecht with a knife? The Torah says, v'zavachta, you shall slaughter, slaughtering with anything. As we learned in the Mishnah. But not, as we learned in the Mishnah, shochet b'magal yad, a person who slaughters with a hand sickle, bitzor, with a rock, bekaneh, with a reed. Shechita sok sheir, it's a kasha shechita. Okay. Now that we know that when the Torah says don't eat the flesh, if it would mean just eating, then it would also mean not getting benefit. So then, balashor naki lamali, why did the Torah have to say the owner of the ox goes clean, he has no benefit? My answer is lanos oro, that's the Talmud, that he can't even get benefit from the skin of the animal of his that killed. Salka daita chamina would have thought to say, besaru daser ba'ana, you can't get any benefit from the meat. Aval oro nishtari ba'ana, but the skin you could get benefit from. Kamashman balashar naki, that's what the Torah teaches us with the words. The owner of the ox goes clean, he doesn't even have any benefit from the skin of his killer. Ulaharach tanoi, now what about these tanoi that we're going to see soon? Tamafki lahai balashar naki, the drasha achmina, we're going to use the words balashar naki to teach me something else. Kidabin alim lakaman, as we're about to say. Hanas oro minolahu, how do they know that the owner of the ox can't get any benefit from the skin? Nafkalahu, they learn it from the fact that it says, espesaro. Lo yachel es b'saro, its flesh may not be eaten. The word es, es means hatafel b'saro, that which is secondary to the flesh. What is secondary and included in the flesh? My new oro. The high tana, whereas the other tana, es lo darsh, doesn't darsh in the word es. The tana is learned in a braisa, shimon amsuni, v'amilu nechemi amsuni, some say it was shimon amsuni, others say it was nechemi amsuni. Haya dorish kol esen shabatori, interpreted every time the Torah says the word es. And came when she yigiel es Hashem Elokecha tira, once he got to the phrase, God, your Lord, you shall fear, appear, she said, what could be subordinate to God that you should fear like you fear God? Amelot Talmidav, the Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, our teacher, kol es Hashem derashem atei aleihem, what's going to be with all those drushes that you made from the word es? Amelot, he said, k'shem shekibalt yischar la'drisha, kakibalt yischar la'prisha, the same way I get reward for what I've interpreted, now that I see that my whole approach is wrong, I get reward for stepping away from interpreting. So when Rabbi Akiva saw that, he saw such integrity at Shabbat Rabbi Akiva of Limates, he said, Rabbi Akiva came and taught Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, God, your Lord, you shall fear the rabbos, is to include fearing the Torah sages. Tanur Rabbanu lived in a braisa. The pasuk says, Uval Ashor Naki, the owner of the ox goes out clean from the ox. What do you learn from that? We've learned one approach is that he can't get any benefit from it, from the skin. Rabbi Lezer Omer means something else. That's the question that addresses Izzy's question. Naki michatzi kofer. That if it's a tam that kills, we don't say the tam has to pay half of kofer. The owner of the ox is clean from paying half kofer. Amalur Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, "Valohu atzmin mishtan al migufo." Of course, he doesn't have to pay half kofer. If a tam kills, you only pay from the animal's body. So if you lebezdin v'yashamlocha, you can go tell the guy. Go try to bring him to the court and have him pay from the body because the animal gets stoned. If the animal gets stoned, there's no body to be paid from. So, Elamigu, Amar lo Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar said to Rabbi Akiva, Kachani b'enech shadini b'zeh. You think I'm talking about in the case Shachai of Nisa, that I need a pasuk to say, even in the case when the animal gets put to death, he doesn't pay kofar? And Dini Elokishemis Adam Alpi Edechad, Alpi Bailim. My case, and why I need the pasuk of Balashar Naki, is when the animal killed based on a single witness, or the animal killed based on and we know about it because the owner of the animal admitted to it, so he's not going to be put to death based on his own words, but even so, there wouldn't be a payment of kofar.